Welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Bo. We are going to start this time with the Mivchar Pinim. The Mivchar Pinim starts with the statement, Avedas HaSeichel Einam Nimtzeis. When Seichel is lost, one's intellect is lost, it's not found. V'chochma nota imo b'asheru nota. Your chochma will take you wherever it is inclined. So, one mahalich, here, what do we mean about Avedas HaSeichel? This could mean death. Meaning to say, once a particular individual is leaving this world, their intellect is not going to just be picked up by somebody else. They can't just find it. The uniqueness of humans and their thoughts is so unique that it is not replaceable. Another way to look about it is that it's talking about laziness. It's impossible. You know, if you just leave thought somewhere, it's impossible for somebody else to pick it up. Everybody has their own special intellect, and it's impossible for somebody else to deal with it. And then there's one more approach, which is brought by the Mishkal HaKodesh, which I think is also very important, is that it is impossible when one has kind of an interruption of their intellect, it's really hard to get it back, meaning to say that one of the deepest Jewish values is to be able to do something with continuity. Anybody who's tried to do an Hanhaga Tova, a Chavrusa, a Kabbalah, all these things, we know the Yetzer Hara is squealing with delight, trying to get us to just miss that one time, and is giving us a million different reasons why it makes sense to just skip. But as soon as we do, we lose the muscle memory and we lose the train of thought. And in the world of thought, this is so important, to keep it going. Don't turn off your mind. So there's three different mahalchim here that we need to remember. Number one, try to work with consistency and continuity. Two, laziness is fatal. Laziness is something which will get in our way. Now, we have a societal problem that people tend to value being busy as an independent value. I'm not speaking about that, but I am speaking, which is worthwhile to share with your families, but I am speaking about grit and the ability to keep pushing. That's going to make an extraordinary difference in a person's life. And the third one is in the individuality of people's minds and the way that they think and the way that they approach things. I take such nachas when I see beautiful, different mahalchim in the way that people just approach Torah, that their personalities and their intellect patterns and their strengths really shine through. And that needs to be something, as a parent, that we encourage. And moreover, I find in my time in teaching that we need to find in our students, and we need to encourage so that they can succeed. Number two, Daber na b'ozne. It says, speak, please. Famous Rashi says, this is Lashon Bakasha. You know, the Kasha goes as follows, and you can deal with this Kasha however you like. You know, Adam Bolo Mamono, people are crazy about money. And in this instance, it's even perhaps more powerful because Klal Yisrael is getting reparations for so many years of slavery. It's a no-brainer. Why is the word no here? It is not superfluous. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu need to please ask? One mahalich, which is really remarkable, and now that it's a little bit in hindsight, it could be worthwhile to consider, is one, an approach that is, I mean, they're all over. Look at the Torah Tumima. Sometimes it's, you know, think about the slave mentality. They couldn't get out of it. There's a myriad of approaches, But look at the Oznaim Letera, who says that it's about reparations, that they don't want anything to do with Mitzrayim, right? Meaning it required coercion or at least persuasion to say, you know, it's okay, you don't need to go cold turkey with everything to do with Mitzrayim. This is like the people after World War II had mixed feelings about taking reparations from their, from their tormentors, because they didn't want anything to do with them. That's an interesting hashkafa, that now that it may be enough decades in hindsight that we can look at it afresh and consider. So that's one approach, and just that's a good way to deal with some of the tzedal laderech. But just in case we were insufficient with our tzedal laderech, I'm going to give you something which is probably too much for us to chew on. But I think that, every once in a while, we need to expose, the people that we're trying to share with and to help grow, not only a nice vort or a cute story, but a problem and an understanding that it's getting addressed by the greatest minds in the Torah world. In very, very different ways. So I'll give you one of the Ramban's greatest hits is the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, where he goes through his theory about Nisim and his theory about Hashkocha and his very strong words for anybody who takes a different approach. The line goes, Mina Nisim Gedolim Lomdim Ala Nisim Nistarim, Nisim Ketanim. He says, from these Hanisim Agadolim of Ehamufur Samim. So the known ones, the popularized ones, and the big ones, Adam Moda Benisim Nistarim. You'll agree, you will concede intellectually to the little ones. And then he says, subsequently, this idea that somebody who is not Moda, somebody who doesn't do that, ain lo chelik mi teres Moshe, right? You don't believe in it. You don't have a chelik in teres Moshe. So it's a little bit of a kasha, right? Is it really because they don't believe that they all lose their chelik? Like, that's really hard to understand. And moreover, wouldn't it be that somebody who sees these nisim, it was kofer them, they were being kofer bedover mefurash, something explicit, right? Is that because of a lack of emuna? And could we not be mitaritzed in a different way and say, no, the world really operates b'derech ha-teva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do nisim whenever he wants. Indeed, Ayin the Maharal Miprag, who says exactly that. Look in Sefer Gvuros Hashem, Perek Samech Aleph, and he says, be'arichus, the idea that somebody who says that the world is always in Nisim, Hareze Mecharifu Magadif, this person is completely off the mark. I said that gently, right? And take a look at the Rambam, in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Nun Aleph, meaning it's not like we don't have, enough to support the other way. The way that the Sefer, it's called Harare Kodesh, a wonderful beer on Ramban, starts this problem down the road. And his approach is as follows. He brings it in the name of the altar of Kelm. He says there are two kinds of nisim. There's niglim and nistarim. We're talking about nisim nistarim. And those nisim nistarim can explain why we see in, for example, the Tochacha Parshas Bechu Kosai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about Keri. He says, when he talks about Keri, it sounds like he's leaving us completely to Teva. And if he's leaving us completely to Teva, Olam Kaminhagu Nahug, then how do we have this Nisim Nistarim? So the altar of Kelm in Chachmu Musar says there's two Hanagos. There's natural that follows the natural order, and a person who leaves the Torah will follow the natural order according to their punishment. And then there's supernatural, and that is that tzaddikim always get ha'aras panim. However, this natural order, this carry, is not real carry. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing a hashgacha to make the world be carry. And that, and that's why, for example, you see in the Psukim, Gam aniye lech imechem bekeri, I'm going to walk with you bekeri. Well, if you're, if it's keri, then you shouldn't be walking with me that way. That's his raya. The Sum Derech says it slightly in different words, but it's the same signon. And he says that keri is also a case, a kind of hashkacha. It's hashkachas mikrim. And the Harei Kodesh adds, if we are not mushkachim, how could it say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is bringing onshim in all these psukim? So see, for example, the second paragraph of Kriya Shema or whatnot, where we're in Parshas Bechukosai, where we see all these natural things. It must be that the way that the world goes is in hashkacha pratis, and they are just coming out in scharva onesh, that the hashpa is bederech neis. So there's a problem. And take a look in two different additional Mari Makomos to see how this plays out. One is the Ramban in Parshas Vayera. The Ramban in Parshas Vayera says the Chasidim get Shmira from Puranus. They get protection from and from kind of punishment, but not Shar B'nei Odom. So there it seems to imply the rest of them are in Derech HaTeva, and the Beinonim are included, not like that Ramban in Parshas Bo. Moreover, if you look in Parshas Ekev, you will see a similar idea, which we'll try to get back to. In Parshas V'hayayim Shamoa, he says the following, the Damina Nisim, from Nisim, lo yasu letova ola ro, rak la tzadikim gmurim ola rishayim gmurim. Only complete tzadikim and complete rishayim get Nisim. Avala beinonim kederech min hago shalolam. The beinonim go in the regular way of the world. Yasu behem tova ura kadarkum ka'alilosam. You get it according to, you know, just however you act, that's kind of the way that the world works. So it seems that we've got a different approaches in the Ramban himself. So moreover, there's a comment of the Ramban in Parshas Iov, Lamed Vav Zayin, and he says, the Rov Ha'olam is Beinonim. And and that's why we talk about wars, because if they were tzaddikim, they wouldn't even need to go out to war. Everything gets taken care of. Ayin Sham. So it's a approach that I believe his last name is Harari, Rabbi Harari, says for Beinonim, it's possible that we could say that they can either have Derech Teva, and that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it, but it changes from time to time according to their Maisim. But there are several additional Mari Makomos. First, you should look in the Maharal and Gevuras Hashem, which says it seemingly completely oppositely. You should also look in Rabbi Molzen's Sefer, Amuno V'Hashkacha, which is built entirely on this Ramban in Parshas Bo. And please also take a look in Michtav Eliyahu, Chelek Hey, page 309 to 310. And he says that the Mikrei Bnei Adam, they can happen. And in those instances, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashgiach at all to save them from Mikrim. So it sounds like a monster sugya. What can you do with this? The first one is you just put it in front of them and you say, well, how do you answer? The second one is to try to spend a lot of time on who tzaddikim and beinonim are. And a third one is just expose to them some of these mahalchim to see, you know, to see how they respond to it, and then ask them what the real nafkaminas are. Wow, we've used up so much time that we don't even have enough time for stories. I wish you a lovely Shabbos.